This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President of Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State, and many years in Hong Kong and traveling Asia for the Wall Street Journal editorial board. So Mary draws on experience of the evolution of the Chinese miracle, which has now come, the metaphor is crashing down if it was a normal capitalist state. Let's just say it no longer meets expectations. What we're looking at here is the unsolved pandemic, the unsolved zero COVID lockdowns of major cities, the unsolved conflict with India, the unsolved conflict with Taiwan, with Japan, with all of its neighbors. And at the center of this is Xi Jinping, whom I'm told is not especially well-educated, at least in his youth, and is devoted to his own power. Hence, we come to the Party Congress meeting within weeks, where he is asking his colleagues to endorse him for another 5, perhaps 10-year term. I'm not certain, because this is unprecedented. There is no successor. I underline that. All dictatorships, all authoritarian regimes, reaching back to the Egyptians, know without a successor, you are weak. Mary, your measure of Xi Jinping, what did he get out of going to Samarkand? Because I got no clarity whatsoever why he's meeting with a man who's losing.
Well, I actually sent a note to clients about this last week, John. I think he got something very important, which was a demonstration that he is in the superior position to Russia. And no matter what happens with Ukraine, China is going to win because you're either going to get a much weakened Putin regime, which, again, is more submissive to Beijing, or you get a Putin who wins in Ukraine and demonstrates the weakness of the West and draws our forces and their focus over there while China can exploit its priorities in the Far East. In terms of his education, by the way, John, I'm not sure it matters if he can speak Latin and Greek. I mean, the man is a brutal, effective ideologue who has consolidated power at the top of the party and is starting to construct a network of partners, as he did in Samarkand, that will serve China's interests. Just one last note on that meeting of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. Didn't get a lot of attention, but Iran is now a full member. Belarus is on its path to membership. Egypt, Saudi, and Qatar are now dialogue members. Where is the alarm in Washington here? I mean, Egypt, do you know how many tens of millions of dollars the United States gives to Egypt every year for its military and other programs? Bahrain, the UAE, Kuwait, also on the path to dialogue membership in the SCO. If I were still sitting in the State Department, there would be alarm bells ringing here. It's clear that China is trying to co-opt the Gulf energy-producing states into their corner. Now, they may not succeed in getting them 100% in China's corner, but certainly they're going to split their loyalties between the United States and Communist China. And this is, a significant diplomatic development that state would be well-served to focus on.
You mentioned Taiwan, Mary, and of course, recently that's been much in the news following the speaker's visit, the provocations by the PLA, and then most recently, President of the United States in a lengthy interview speaking again about how the U.S. will defend Taiwan. It's all confusing, Mary, because I'm not quite sure if the PRC is in a position to do anything about Taiwan. And I don't even know that the U.S. Navy is in a position to do anything to defend Taiwan. So is it possible, Mary, they're talking about something else, relations between China and the United States turn on both leaders using harsh language and yet doing deals for trade? Is that how to look at this? A total paradox.
Well, we don't want a conflict between Russia, or rather China and Taiwan. Neither does President Biden, I'm confident. And so I take his repeated assertions that the United States would defend Taiwan as a good thing. In terms of his aides walking it back, well, isn't that kind of a definition of strategic ambiguity? You're not really sure what we would do. Now, granted, I say that a little bit tongue in cheek, because I would personally prefer us to just say it out loud. Taiwan is an independent country. It's a great, thriving democracy. We want mainland China to look like modern day Taiwan and the Chinese people to benefit from the same kinds of freedoms and the rule of law that the people of Taiwan get to enjoy. I think that's perfectly legal under the One China policy. We agree to disagree. So why can't we change our interpretation? We can. That's not what President Biden is doing here. I'm concerned about the situation. I'm concerned that Xi Jinping's ambitions are only growing, going in one direction, and that's toward more aggressiveness in his near abroad. And I just hope and pray that whatever is going on in the White House, the National Security Council, state and DOD, that they are doing everything that they can to be very clear to their Chinese counterparts. You move and do something that infringes on the sovereignty of Taiwan, and there will be consequences, and I hope they're laying them out.
Last 20 seconds, Mary. Do you believe that she is sincere in making these threats, or is that a campaign ploy to get the third term?
Oh, I think he's absolutely sincere. Right. As I said earlier, he's a committed ideologue. The party is everything in China. Consolidating power is everything, and he wants to make his mark on history.
Mary Kissel, I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,